Just before I start, just I want to read a verse. I'm not even new a Christian. I didn't even know where that verse was found. I had to ask James and Nate. It's found in Ephesians 6, and it's verse 12. And it says, For we do not rest against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. It'll probably become evident why I've chosen that verse tonight. As I say, I'm only saved a short time, so I was brought up in a Christian home, and from early age I knew I needed to be saved. My dad and mum told me just from this high, send me to Sunday school, send me a lot of meetings, and probably from a very early age I got very rebellious towards God, even because as you're growing up you want to be accepted, you want to fit in, and because of that there are, like, my dad and all preaching and all from a very early age, you were probably classed as a holy Joe in school and stuff. I hate that tag. I really detest that tag from a very early age. Probably growing up about last year primary school, first year high school, things got really, probably just really rough in my life, or just got really rebellious. And around that time, my dad, not only he started preaching, but he was a butcher man, and he was owning a butcher shop, but he bought a castle. I was 12 years old, it was the first year of high school. My dad bought a castle, and not knowing what he was going to do with it. And all my mates were saying, like, what's your dad now? Like, what's he buying this place for? You're lord, like, your dad's lord of the manor and all this. Give me all this stuff at school. I just hated it. And probably got more rebellious against God as well. And wondering what this is all about. Wondering, like, was this a cult, or is this, what's happening, or, you know, what's going on? So I went on through high school. And at that stage, my older brother was like, he was like blue eyed boy in our family. And he's 3 years older than me. And he was like head of Scripture Union, perfect son, doing everything right. And the teachers would have said to me at school, like, are you his brother? And I actually loved that fact, because I loved people saying that I wasn't part of the family. So actually, I became a black sheep of the family, but I actually reveled in that tag. And I drifted very far from God. And I blamed him for everything was happening, you know, in a bit of our family and in a bit of our lives. This stage, my dad had started a full-time out in God's work as an evangelist. Things weren't bad enough, you know. It's just, I was getting so much stick at school and stuff, and I was just trying to fit in. So I started drinking probably around about 14 or 15, just to probably, more than anything else, to shake off that tag of being son of a preacher man. Like, it wasn't really, and I not know what I was getting myself into, like. Started partying, first person in the family, probably in our family that done it. And started hitting, you know, probably end of high school, into college. I started doing drugs. And at that stage, it was only recreational. And believe it or not, I was going in and out of church at that time too. So probably going to things like this here, probably putting on a front of people, living a party lifestyle, but also going to the things like this here. And there's a reason why I'm saying that there tonight as well. But I was trying to play two worlds. I'd made a false profession. Started going to Port Arneedham. Even started, you know, worshipping and all, singing the songs. But there was nothing in it. There was nothing real. I was living my own life at the same time. I was living my own party lifestyle. But maybe not the extent in later, as I was in later years in life. But around about that time, I think I was about 20 years of age, I spent 2 years with a guy in Enniskillen. And them 2 years were the best probably 2 years, you know, I'd lived up to that stage, because I moved in with a godly man, and he was like the first time I'd ever seen God in some person. Probably my dad and mum, I'm not saying that God wasn't in them, but I didn't want to see it. But I seen it in this man. And God began to sort of speak to me and say that there's something more to this than meets the eye. There's something more. It's not just some figment of somebody's imagination. There's something real in this. And out of probably more respect than anything else, I was acting like a Christian in front of him, in front of people around him. But I was coming home the weekends, and I was partying, and unknown to him as well. But I was putting on an image in front of him. And But I say there, it was a real witness to me, and I just want to give that man credit tonight. It was a real witness to me. I left that man's house and came back home, and the drugs started to come more in my life. They started to come even during the week and stuff. And with that, there became a real darkness in my heart, a real loneliness, a real depression, probably oppression, the best way to describe it. I became maybe a bit of a loner as well. And I only used the drugs as a front to actually, you know, get by and at weekends and stuff and have confidence and going out by and stuff. And it probably became, even during the, I thought, if this works the weekends, this will work during me for me during the week. So I started doing probably A-class drugs nearly more or less, you know, during the week and stuff, but as I say, more weekends. But I was working on that stage, and I started a career, I'm a personal trainer, I started a career in personal training, and I was actually doing well in it as well. But people around me didn't probably, I was going away probably face the weekends, going away weekends over in England, and people didn't even know I was doing drugs as well. I was headed very well, and with my job and all. And I started to get very successful and earn a quite a bit of money, but it was still dark, really dark in my life. And I really didn't know the answer. I knew there was a God, and I heard it was a God, but I didn't, had in reality in my own life to know that it could help me. And things became that bad. I was living in and out of home, and I moved on to various houses, but at this stage I moved back into the house, and I woke up one morning and I says, I can't do this no more. And I didn't even know where I was at. I just put my all the belongings in a car, and everything I had, clear my bank account out, all my savings, and went over to England. Didn't even know where I was going. My parents didn't even have a clue. I remember my dad standing at the door that morning. He says, where are you going? And I didn't even know, I couldn't even answer him to where I was going. I ended up in Derby in England, and I had a lot of money in my bank accounts. I had no job or nothing, but I started really getting, partying became flat out. I was partying during the week. I was partying the weekends. And things became that bad in my life. I really, like, the only way I could operate was with drugs. And I was doing classes in and out of personal training, freelancing myself. I was earning a bit of money, but the times where I couldn't work or I couldn't face work, I didn't have to work because I was doing freelance work. And things became that bad that, and that I was that desperate. I remember one night standing, and I was living in a pent apartment in England in Derby, and middle of the night, I was really just a really dark, depressed moment in my life, and I just needed help. And I got out of bed and stood in front of the mirror. I remember this so well that it only happened yesterday. Like, and I blasphemed God. You can imagine what I said. Put my arms in the air, and I said, I blasphemed God, and I said, if you're not going to help me, I want Satan. I want you to take full control of my life. And put my hands up in the air. Probably that stage I didn't know really what even my words meant, but it says in the Word of God that there's power in your words. Maybe you think tonight there that Satan is some like wee cartoon character that the media have painted out, wee horns and all, and he doesn't annoy you or nothing, but you'll hear now that Satan's real, and he was real in my life, and I felt right away an instant, if I felt bad, or really an instant darkness came over my life. I was early 20s then, and I started getting into the occult, and in a serious, really way in England. And it was almost a year had passed. I spent all my money. My bank account was totally cleared out. I was desperate. I ended up in a flat in England that even a cat wouldn't live in. Like it was, or a wild animal wouldn't live. It was just. And I bear in mind that I had a lot of money when I went over there, but just bank account was cleared out. And I remember, I rang my mum, and I was that desperate, and I says, Mum, I need to come home. And that stage, I hadn't even spoke to her in all that time, where nobody even knew where it was. And she says, well, that's okay, well, where are you? And I told her where it was, and she had to actually send the money over to get the flight home for me. I drained my money that much. But back into the house anyway, and weeks have passed anyway, and my dad was out evangelizing, as I said, doing various missions and stuff. And I was making things hard for him. And I was still practicing the occult at that stage, unknown to my parents, unknown to anybody probably in my life, just the people that I was with doing the occult. And I remember I started being violent. I'm not proud of what I'm saying here, by the way. I remember being violent towards my dad. And I remember one night I had him down the floor and I was punching that hard, I broke his ribs. And it wasn't even trying to get at him. It was just trying to get at God, trying to get a reaction out of somebody that my life was that desperate. And I started being verbally abused to my mum as well. And I'm not proud of saying that as well. Even this day, that grieves me, I'm saying that. But I have to be honest and to say what's happened in my life. And I started being verbally abusive and physically violent towards my father. And they said, Mark, you're going to have to move out, or else the only place is for you is go down to see your brother. And by that stage, my brother had started a rehab centre in RMI, and he still does to this day. And I really only went there because I knew if I had went out anywhere else, I would just got myself deeper and deeper into problems. So I went down there really for my parents' benefit more than anything else. Didn't go there for myself. About 3 or 4 months passed, and I couldn't hack it no longer, and I left. I remember my brother was standing at the end of the road, and he says, "Mark, if you leave here this day, you mightn't come back." And I know what he meant. He meant that potentially there I could lose my life. I started and I ended up in Poor Down, and ended up in another crowd of just, it was a load of just bad people, and Satan brought them into my life. Again, I was still got into a freelance person training, and I was doing classes, so there's some kind of normality in my life. But unknown to people there, there was no normality outside my work. And the years passed anyway. And I was in and out of various homes all around the country, and even went back to England and stuff. But I got a job in Monaghan, and I believe it was God as well, working in my life. And I believe it was my parents praying for me as well, and people that my parents had praying for me. And probably the first steady job I got. But it was still, my life wasn't right. And I remember that I needed help. And I got in touch with a guy, and he says, "Well, there's a guy that does deliverance ministry in Warrenstown. His name was Jim Hagan. Maybe some of you know him." And I went and seen Jim, and he had done deliverance ministry with me. And people don't believe in deliverance ministry. I tell you what, it's real. Because I believe only for that period of time, it was over a period of weeks, there was a lot of deliverance ministry. I believe that God has started having his hand upon me. There's a lot of stuff came out of my life that probably at that time saved my life. Only for that probably deliverance ministry, I would have been dead. And that's not just words, that's reality. If you knew where I was at that time. I started going to church again, but I believe I'm still operating with people in the occult and stuff, and I believe Satan brought me into churches around the country probably to bring, first of all, confusion into my own life and probably influence other people as well. So as the years went on, I hit in my 30s, I was still doing, this day the drugs had become more calmer and stuff, but I was still doing recreational drugs. And I met a girl in a gym in Monaghan, and we built a great friendship, and this girl was engaged to be married. I knew from early on that she was engaged, but I got really close to her, and we got really friendship, and she started telling me things about our fiancé and stuff. And I felt sorry for her, and she drew me in, and this, unknowns to me there, she was a witch, and I fell in love with her, to be honest with you, and I think that was all part of her plan anyway, or maybe there was some part of it that actually did love me, but I really fell hook, leg, and sinker for her, and the influence that she had over me was crazy. It was just unbelievable, and I believe it was Satan, the power of Satan. That verse I was reading earlier on, the power of Satan was operating so intense in my life, it was crazy. This went on for a period of about 3 or 4 years. I drew away from her, come back to her, drew away from her, come back to her. And I started getting, I started having a group of friends that every weekend I'd go round to their house. And the house is not actually far from here, but I'm not saying where it is. But I remember started doing drugs the whole weekend, and I got the drug problem got that intense. I don't know if you know anything about drugs, but I remember just swallowing a gram one night of herbal plant, you call it, 1 gram, which potentially could kill you. And just, I just swallowed it all in one go. And even the people that were doing the drugs with me, they were amazed. They were saying, what are you at? And my life was just totally out of control. But there was people praying for me and unknowns me and stuff. And I was so rebellious, even against my parents and stuff, that I even went to see a plastic surgeon to change my appearance so I wouldn't look like my father. I hated him that much. And I knew he was doing missions in all this days. And I went and even seen the guy that had changed my surname, because I wanted nothing to do with my family at that stage. Even though they loved me, and I felt so isolated and so alone. Just over a year ago, I landed in Ibiza with these group of friends. And we were over there for 4 or 5 days, and we were doing drugs the whole Sunday into the Monday morning. And bear in mind, Ibiza is a place where, like, a whole, I don't know if you know much about it, maybe some of you have been there even. It's a whole party land, and there's thousands of people there around the beach. I felt so alone, so isolated, so far from everything, even though there was people around me. Even my best mate was there. And it was like a spiritual warfare going on in my life. Throughout the whole Monday, I spent the whole Monday just walking the beach. And I was probably a lot of drugs from the day before, the night before. I got back in and I said to my best mate, I can't do this. I can't do this no longer. He didn't know, and he was doing drugs, and he couldn't give me any advice because he was in a state himself. And I remember went to a club that night and come back from the club, and I think it was about the middle of the morning, about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was walking about, and I was suicidal, and total confusion, total, just felt unloved, felt so alone, I felt I had no answers. And I remember crying out to God. I said, God, if you're real, you have to help me here, because I have no answers myself. And I remember standing on the balcony, walking into the balcony, and all the guys were in the apartment, and they were all out of their faces and drugs, and I didn't even know what was going on around them, and I was pacing around, or maybe they do know, I don't know, I haven't spoken to them since about it. I remember in the toilet there, I pulled a towel around my neck and I squeezed that tight. I says, I want out of here. And I even said to Satan, Satan, I knew the power of Satan was on me. And I just said, Satan, you please leave me alone. And I kept hearing voices in my head, hallucinations and paranoia. And the voices felt so real in my head. And I believe it was spiritual warfare about just laughing in my face. But unknowns to that night, that same night, my dad had called a prayer meeting for me, especially. He's a place out in Port Down Road. And he called a few guys together in prayer for me. And I want to just give testimony to that there, because I believe only for that there prayer meeting that night, I wouldn't have come home out of Ibiza. So just encourage that the people here who are praying, keep on praying, because it's just real. And the hours passed into the morning, night time. It came about 8 o'clock or so, and I don't even know how I'd done it, but I packed my bags. I says to my best mate, he seen my bags packed. He says, where are you going? But this stage, he'd sort of come out into reality himself a wee bit. The drugs had started to wear off. He says, where are you going? I'm out. I'm going home. And I don't even know how I got home, or I believe it was just the power of God, because you can't even see flights out of a beef. You know, if you're not booked, you can't book them that day. And I remember going to the woman at the airport, and I was just confusion, and I was crying, I was desperation. I says, I need to get home. Jesus, and she says, where are you going? She says, I need to get home to Northern Ireland. And she says, well, the flights are booked up. You have no possibility. The only way you're going to do it is get a transfer flight. And there's a reason why I'm saying all this as well, because I believe that the power of God was on me. And she says, come back to me in half an hour. I'm back there, and she says there's a cancellation. There's only one space left on the flight. And I believe it was God. Make with that what you want. But I believe it was God. And I got home anyway, and the first person, I spent the whole day traveling. The first person I seen was my mum. And bear in mind, by this stage there, my mum had probably washed my hands of me. I just told us various people that she just left me in the hands of God, and just. But she saw the state of me, and for the first time in my life, I felt the love of my mother. Like, I'm 35 years of age, and when you feel the love of a mother after that long, and I felt it, and I felt, I believe it was God as well. And she didn't judge me, she didn't say nothing to me. She just knew she needed to help me. She brought me back into the house, and that was over a year ago. I spent a whole year watching my parents, and my dad wasn't well around that time, and he just started to come out of it, and he started doing missions again. And I watched him like a hawk. And I, bear in mind, I hated my father. He hated everything about it, everything he stood for. He hated the God that he worshipped. And I watched him, and I just seen something that real in his life that I wanted. For the first time in my life, I seen God in him, which I don't ever think before but see God in him. And I spent just about 8 months, and there was like, but I was still at this stage, I was going out the weekends partying and stuff. And my dad had started a mission just beside us in the field. And I would say I was living at home at this stage, and I went in that Sunday afternoon, probably more out of support for him, because he'd done so much for me in that previous 8 months. And I came out of that meeting that day. I couldn't even tell you what was spoke that day, but I came out of that meeting that day, and I just, for the first time in my life, I felt conviction upon me. Like, and I remember standing, my dad was waiting at the door of the tent. I come back, and I just wanted to speak to me and say that you're all right, but he didn't even sense that I was under conviction. I walked out anyway, and I went every night to the mission, or the nights that I could get to the mission as well. And it was just, God was starting to work in my life. The spirit of conviction was on me. And I think 3 weeks into the mission had passed. It was a Thursday morning. And I woke up. And bear in mind, my dad, he would normally get up, and he would normally pray very early in the morning. And I got up, and I went out and done a client for personal training. I came back into the house. It was 8 o'clock or somewhere around 8:30 or somewhere around that time. And the house was total silence. And I thought the Lord had come back. I can't describe at that moment the fear that came over me. Like, it was crazy. It was absolutely, it's just so hard to put into words. And I was totally in fear. And I went over the radio, and I wanted to hear that, was there anything about this Lord coming back. I'd heard so much about it. I wanted to see if this was real. I was that much in a state of panic. And there was nothing there. And I actually turned the channel to make sure that there was nothing happening. But I knew by that stage there, I needed to get my life sorted out. I knew if the Lord had come back that morning, I wasn't right. I wasn't ready. And I remember phoning my dad about an hour later and said, I need to speak to you. And he probably didn't have a clue what it was all about. And I came back home. He came back home anyway, and I said to him, Dad, I'm not saved. I need to get my life right. I need God in my life. And the words he said to me, like, and I thought he was coming as a preacher man, I thought an evangelist, I thought he was going to sit down with me and talk to me and lead me to the Lord. But he says, Mark, you know enough now. He says, you know what you have to do. And I'm glad before God that he did do. He took his hands right off me. Because I wanted to prove that it was real. Spent the whole day crying out to God, saying, if this is real, if you are speaking to me, I need to hear your voice. And I actually thought it was safe because I made false professions and stuff. And I actually thought it was that much confusion. I said, God, if you're real, I need you to speak to me directly. I need you to hear your voice. And well, the transmission was one night walking into the field, and my Bible under my arm, believe it or not. And that was rare for me. And I had a Bible under me, and we walked into the field. And I seen my dad's porta cabin that he'd done his missions in. And bear in mind, that happened to put that hall up not so long before that there in a mission. And the verse of scripture read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." And the first time in my life, I felt like God was speaking to me directly, not through people, not through my dad, but directly to himself. And I was like, he was like saying to me, "Mark, your sin, which all your life is going to lead you into hell, but I can give you eternal life. I can give you peace. I can give you a hope today." And I was so confused, and I believe God, for the first time in my life, God was speaking to me directly, and I was just like, wow, this is crazy. I jumped in my car. I just wanted to get away. I could hardly even steer it. I was up much in just total confusion. And there was a sign there on the road advertising the mission. And actually, 6 weeks previous to that, I had put the sign on the road. I had my dad put the sign on the road. And the sign just advertising the meetings. And the sign said, "Prepare to meet thy God." And it was like God saying to me, "Mark, you need to get prepared to meet me." Went down the road, went down a couple of hundred metres, and I had to turn back and go into the house because I couldn't even drive the car. That night, I went running to the mission, practically running to the mission, and my dad was speaking that night. And I was just in a state of hysteria. I was crying. I didn't know where I was, but Satan was in the back of my ear. He says, "Get out of this tent. You're making a fool of yourself." And the tent was full, and I was crying, and I had my head in my hands, and Satan was just saying to me, "Mark, you're making a complete and utter fool of yourself. What's people going to think of you? Get up and walk out." But I prayed to God. I says, "God, I'm not moving here tonight. I need to get my life right. I can't walk out of this tent this night before I get my life right." And after the meeting was over, I just put my head in my hands. As I said, I didn't even see the people walking out. One of my father's mates, Robert Jewett, maybe some of you know him or some of you don't, and his son came over to me. And they started putting their hands on me. And Mark, his son there, is a very similar testimony to myself. And God had him there that night for a reason. I praise God for it. And I just tell him a bit about my life and what all was going on. What had happened that day, what had happened the previous weeks, and not sleeping and stuff, the conviction on me. And I said, I can't leave this tent tonight without getting my life right. And I was shaking. I believe it was satanic power upon me as well. And they started praying for me. And all I prayed after, I asked the Lord to forgive me, but all I prayed was this one simple prayer. And it doesn't take big prayers to get saved. I know it because it's real in my life. All I said, "Lord, let your blood wash over my life." And from that moment, see the shaking and the stuff, it stopped. And I didn't even know I said this, but it was awesome. Mark was telling me a week or so ago, he says, "I just got up that moment and I just cried, I'm clean." I felt so emotionally just like, people say you don't feel it. Well, I'll tell you what, I felt it. That night I woke up. That night I stood up and I said I was clean. But I knew things had to be put right in my life. And that was just four months ago past or last Thursday. But God, if I'm even going to tell you what's happened since then 4 months, it's been absolutely crazy. Even though reading the Word of God for the first time in my life, I just feel like there's a torch on it. I feel like there's every time I read the Word of God, there's something, the Holy Spirit speaking to me, like, which I didn't even know was the Holy Spirit, but I'm beginning to know what it means, like, or what's happening in my life. And there's a lot of healing be happening in our family, but I praise God and I thank for it. I was telling some of the guys here earlier on the day, it was my cousin Billy, that I've now a bond with my father that I never had, And I bore him with a mother that I never had as well. And I praise God for that. God not only has healed me and saved me, he's starting to heal my family. And that's massive. I say I'm 35, but you crave the love of your parents. And God is starting to heal. And I remember shortly after coming in here on a Saturday night with Finbar. And I was praising God and got involved with Daryl. And I remember going to the mission week after. And God has brought me here. And I praise, and I'm afraid to say that. God has brought me here. And God has got me a family here. And I thank God and I praise God for the people that has actually supported me this last wee while. Because it hasn't been easy. But I tell you what. See, I was chasing a peace and a purpose in my life for so many years. But God has given it. And it says in the Word of God that he gives you peace that passes all understanding. And I tell you what, I've done every drug under the sun. I've done various other things that I'm not going to go into tonight. But there's nothing that satisfies more than the love of Jesus and the power of God. And I just think that if I do wake up in the morning, like I did that Thursday morning, I don't have to be in a panic. Because I know I'm going to heaven. And I want to give God all glory. I'm not standing here to, you know, just... it's a big thing down here. Give me your testimony, but it said in the Word of God, you overcome Satan by the word of your testimony, and that's my testimony. And I'm overcoming because Satan has been evident in my life. But I tell you what, God's my savior now. Hallelujah.